So James chapter 4, and we'll read the first three verses, dealing with the subject of brethren at war. And we're not talking about the kind of war that that our military and our nation go off to, but a different kind of a war that's not so noble, a kind of a bad war that's a war among brethren, brethren at war. Chapter 4, verse 1 of James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Think about brethren at war today as we look at this passage of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege that we have of opening your word today, this afternoon, and just pray that you might bless to our benefit your word. Help, Lord, that we'd not just be hearers of it, that we'd be doers of it. Pray that you'd bless us, Lord, and impress upon our heart the need that we have that's before us, that's brought forth, Lord, and hundreds of years ago, as James points out the difficulty and the problem with the flesh that the saints of old had, and that we, Lord, also might see that it's a reality for us today. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you accomplish in our lives. We pray for those who are in need at this time, that you might raise up and heal according to your purpose and plan, that you'd comfort those who need comfort, Lord, today, and just pray that you might give strength and provision to each one. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Brethren at war. The first verse there says, from whence? Ask the question. From whence, or where did the wars and fightings among you come from? From whence come wars and fightings among you? A couple of key words there is among you. So we're not talking about wars with others in the sense of the nation versus nation type of war. We're talking about wars within the confines of this group of believers that he's referring to, that he's speaking to. Where are these wars and fightings coming from? Come they not hence, and he's going to give them direction as to where they do come from. Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members. And he says, hey, that they come from lusts, or the word lust is a word that can also be translated desires, and it is elsewhere in this text. Desires are lusts. They are your desire. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your proneness, your will, your proneness to do certain things. And he says, hey, you've got these desires that are wrong. All of us have two different kinds of desires. We've got desires, we've got the lust of the flesh, and we've got the lust of the spirit. And they're contrary to each other, and they're in a battle. There's a sense in which that there's a battle that's waging within us as God's people. So the question, though, here is not isn't about the war, why do the wars come within us, but he's asking the question of why do the wars come among us? In other words, that there's a warfare that was going on among the believers here. There was strife and bitterness that's going on among the believers that James is correcting. Obviously, this is like, as we said before, the book of James is very much a book of fundamentals of the Christian faith. In other words, practical Christianity, or Christianity 101, as we've said. And James is addressing this issue of why is there this bickering? Why is there this fighting, infighting, you know, within the congregation that really shouldn't be there? And so he asks the question in the sense of what is causing this? And he's going to give the answer. He's not asking a question here that he's not going to have an answer for. He's going to give an answer. The Holy Spirit's given him the words that'll be the answer to the dilemma, to the problem here. And that's a real problem. It's a real problem when believers are in conflict one with another, and further, that believers within a congregation are at conflict and at odds with one another. The context introducing this particular passage that we're dealing with right now was the subject of being peacemakers, if you remember. So the previous chapter ended with that thought of how important it is to be peacemakers. He says, "And the fruit of righteousness," in verse 18, "is sown in peace of them that make peace." And he talked about this envying and strife, the bitter envying and strife that they're having in their hearts and that they're having with each other. And he says, hey, it's a need. There's a need for you to be peacemakers. And that when we're holding the truth, we need to hold it with an understanding that God is not about big arguments and who wins the debate over a particular doctrine. God is about gentleness and meekness and showing, as the Bible says here, out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom, verse 13. So the Lord is more about the way that truth gets communicated is more by example and more by God working it within our hearts and our rather than just simply on a mental basis of who wins an argument or who wins a debate. Very seldom is anything substantial accomplished in that kind of a setting, in that kind of a situation. James identified then the real issue as an internal one connected more to the objects of their desires than to any substantive conflict or offense that they were having among each other. Now, there's sometimes the Bible talks about how that we deal with issues of offense, if somebody has actually sinned against someone else, and how that they are to, Matthew 18, how that they're to go individually to them and privately and discuss it privately. And then if they won't hear them, to take one or two others with them. And ultimately, if they don't hear or are just unwilling to listen and unwilling to repent, then to tell it to the church and for the church to take certain action on it. But these seem not to be those kind of issues. These seem to be issues that he is not speaking about. He's saying that this is just becoming a battle, a war, a battlefield, a war field, which God's people and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should not be. And so it wasn't a matter of substantive conflict or offense, but rather it seems that it's more of a matter of envy and strife, just pure envy and strife. And he is saying, and I mean, he mentions that a couple of times already in that previous few verses. Verse 14 says, you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. And then he says in verse number 16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. So clearly he's talking about something within their hearts, and it's something that's an envying and a strife that's causing this kind of inside battle among the believers at this, wherever it is that he's to whom he's addressing. Verses 2 and 3 we'll start with today. We'll come back to verse 1. But verses 2 and 3, we want to look at what were the issues with these saints. What were the real issues that they had? And then in verse number 1, what was what were the issues with these saints? And then what was the real issue, the ultimate bottom line issue with these saints is verse 1. So verse 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3, what were the issues with these saints? What are the things that were happening? He says, one thing is happening in verse number 2, ye lust and have not. Okay. So you lust, you desire, but you don't have. You got these desires that aren't being fulfilled, aren't being met. You want something, but you can't get it. You don't have it. And you know what? That can be a problem in our heart. It can be a very elemental problem within our heart, where that we see something and we want it, and it might not be something physical that we can see, but it might be something that's a relationship, or it might be something that's a, you know, it could be all kinds of things that are just a certain setting, a certain provision, certain way that people are honored by other people, and there's all kinds of things that we can get green with envy over, right? There's all kinds of things that we can become envious over, that we can be envying and have strife as a result in our hearts as a result of it. But he says, you lust and have not. What is that? And where does that happen? Well, it just happens within us. Individually, he's saying, it's happening. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Okay? So he says, then you go to the next step, and I mean, I don't know how far they actually had gone to this, whether they literally had killed anybody. I kind of doubt that that was the case. But he's saying that your hatred has arisen. And in your heart, you have hatred, and so you're taking action. You're taking the killer action. You're taking offensive action against someone else. And he says, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. It still isn't working. You still can't obtain. You think that you can obtain it, but you still can't obtain it. He says, so you're lusting, you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war. This is his next statement that he makes here in verse number 2. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You're fighting in war. I know we use this passage of scripture as a statement about prayer, and I'm just going to say, I'm not really certain that it is. When I look at the context here, but I'm okay with it if it is. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. In other words, you're in this battle with these people, and you're fighting over things. You're fighting and warring over things, and it's like you don't have. You never even asked in the first place. You started killing. You started taking action. In other words, it's something you've gone from desiring it to wanting to loot. Okay, you remember the looting that went on in Ferguson and other places across the country, the looting that oftentimes goes on as a result of something that's going on, some demonstration or something that takes place, and then it gets out of hand and the police can't control it, and it turns into looting and all kinds of civil unrest and such. He says that's kind of what's happening internally in this with these believers. Maybe not literally, but they're fighting and warring. They have not because they ask not. And maybe it's just because they don't even request. They don't have the decency to have conversations with each other even about things. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. So there's the next stage in verse number 3. You ask. Sometimes you do ask, but you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. And this is why oftentimes we look at this and we say, this seems to be talking about prayer, because he seems to be saying that there's different ways in which we can ask, and we can ask wrongly with a wrong motive behind what we're doing. But perhaps even we might be asking wrong when we're asking others for help and such, and we're just asking, we just want to get rich. We just want to have it. We want to consume it upon our own lusts. And it hadn't anything to do with our real need that we have. But where does all this So he speaks about all these things that are happening, that are this warring that seems to be going on right now, this general warfare that's happening in verses 2 and 3. Verse 1, he's asking the question, where does it come from? And he's going to give the answer in verse number 1, where it's coming from. In verse 1, he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And he asks the question, which is leading us to the answer, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? In other words, when he's saying in your members, he's talking about within you, inside of you, inside of the individual. And so it was an, so what was the real issue with these saints? Well, it's an individual one. It is an individual, internal issue with these saints. It has nothing to do with their external condition. So oftentimes people, when there are people who have envy and they want more and they aren't getting treated right and they feel like they should be treated better than someone else, oftentimes they think that it's an external issue. They think that the real issue is a real situation where that they're not being treated well. But he's saying here, you know where these wars come from? They come from within you. He says it's an individual one. It's internal. He says it comes even of your lust, that war in your members. And so he's saying there's something going on within us. And he says it's individual. It's internal. It's not some, James is not going to go and be able to solve this problem among these saints by saying, okay, you know, like Solomon did. Remember when Solomon and as the king sat in justice, and you've got the one lady and the other lady claiming that the baby belongs to them, and he's going to solve the problem by telling them that I'm about to cut the baby in two. You know, and so it was external, a real external issue. That here it is that there's. But he's saying, no, it's not something that's going to be solved. James is saying it's not going to be solved this way. It is an individual matter. Each one of you have got problems, and your problems deal with the desires of your own heart. They're individual. They are internal. He said, don't they arise? Isn't this true that they come from your lust that war in your members? And it was also, it's a heart issue, because he says they come from what? Even of your lusts that war in your members, your desires. In other words, their selfishness. They have become very self-centered, and they become, it's all about them, it's all about me, it's I don't want to be cheated, I don't want to be hurt, and I don't want to, you know. So there's this strife that comes from this envy of not being treated as well, is not having things as good. And he says, so it's an internal, it's a heart issue that he describes here. Now the internal issues were causing external issues, clearly. The internal issues were causing that they were not at peace with each other at all. That the saints here were having real issues, real problems of just not getting along. They couldn't get along with each other. They were against each other. Everybody was against each other. There may have been cliques, but it just seems like they were all in this constant strife one with each other. And these internal issues, it's the internal issues that were causing the external issues and not the other way around. Most people will usually say that the issue is external. When we have an issue, when we have a problem, when there's a conflict between people, usually the people involved say it's the other person's fault, right? That's what we want to do. We want to say it's his fault or it's her fault. It's external. It's not me that's the problem. But when striving like this, envy and strife exists that he's referring to here, it at least most of the time, it, at least for these folk, it was, the problem was internal. It was with them. And so the internal issues were causing external issues and not the other way around. We all know how the kid, you know, how Johnny comes back, or, you know, our kid comes with a big gash in his forehead, you know, because his brother just hit him with a baseball bat or something. And you say, you know, that gash, you know, with the baseball bat, it's somebody's fault. I mean, somebody did it. And then you talk to the kid that did it, and, well, yeah, but he looked at me this way, you know, or something. It's like, wait a minute, you don't get to just beat your kid, your brother up, you know, because he looked at you different, or because he was saying something to you. But anyway, we all know that's reality. But it was something within that caused the real problem. It was a heart issue, a lust issue, a desire issue, a selfishness issue. The internal issues were causing the external issues. And we're going to see, not today, but we're going to see, and we'll point it out today, but we're going to see from James here in this fourth chapter, and I mean, this is really Christianity 101. This is at a basic level. This is like taking barbarians and turning them into, you know, disciples. It's at a pretty low level. But at the same time, we're going to see the basics of what happens. And he's saying, he talks here about, in the remaining verses of this chapter, verses 4 through 8, these internal desires, the desires need to be refocused. He's going to correct. He's going to give some correction to them. He's going to say, you know what you really need? These internal desires, you got them all focused on the wrong thing. They need to be refocused off of worldly and turned to godly. Okay, he'll be talking about that in verses 4 through 8. We'll look at it here for a second. And then the second thing is, he's going to say, hey, your desires, those internal desires, need to be regulated from haughty to humble. They need to be turned, you need to tune it down from haughty, being so haughty and high-minded, and thinking you're the best, and thinking that you think you are owed something, to being humble, to being more humble. Godliness and humility is better than worldliness and haughtiness, basically, is what James is going to teach the disciples here. In verses 4 through 8, he's going to say, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." Now, that's not very nice, but he's not talking about them being literally adulterers and adulteresses, but he's talking about the fact that they are spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. In other words, they are too close to the world. They're living their life as though the world is who they're married to. And not married, but just adulterers and adulteresses. You know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. So you're committing adultery as in the sense of spiritual, because your hearts are turned to a friendship with the world. In other words, your desires need to be refocused. Your desires are toward worldly things, toward worldly actions, toward the way the world handles issues. And he says they need to be refocused. Look at what he says, verse 5. "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" He says, don't you know that the spirit that's within you is going to lust, to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He said, hey, you know what? If we're not so proud and if we can be more humble, then he gives more grace in that sense. But he's talking about here in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. God, resist, submit to God. Draw nigh, verse number 8, to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So what he's saying here, he is going to turn them, their thoughts, their hearts, desires, more toward godly things, toward God and toward his plan and his purposes for their lives than toward the world. God has the answers. The Lord can take care of us. Also, he says that not only need to be refocused, they need to be regulated. Their desires need to be regulated. Verse 9 through 12 need to be cranked down a bit. Not so haughty, but more humble. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to be lifted up? You want to be higher? Well, humble yourself to be higher. You want people to respect you? Don't just demand that they respect you and dishonor them by demanding that they respect you. Humble yourself. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer but of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver that's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? You're too haughty. You think you're the judge of everybody. You think you're just too high. And that is, where does that come from? It's in your heart. It has nothing to do with what's happening to you. It has to do with your heart not being so high-minded and not being easy to take offense and not being easy to envy other people. Let the haughtiness be turned to humility. And so that's what we'll see as we go on here in the book of James. But today, just focusing here on the fact that where do these kind of battles, these issues come from? Well, they're internal and they're individual. And they're not easy to solve because of that. Because there's as many people as there are that might be involved in a conflict like James is dealing with here, have all got their own internal issues here. And he's saying what'll help is that all of their issues be refocused and regulated the way the Word of God describes here in this passage. And God can work, and God can accomplish that internally in his people. And so sometimes they just don't realize it. Sometimes we just don't realize. You know, this is Christianity 101. Sometimes sheep are dumb, right? Sometimes sheep are just dumb. And sometimes God's people, his sheep, are just dumb. We need some help sometimes from the Lord, and it sometimes is basic stuff that we would humble ourselves, that we would turn toward godliness and clean up our act, and that God might work and God might bless and might end the strife and cause us to be peacemakers instead of warmongers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity to look into your word. We pray that James's words here might bear witness to us, and that we, Lord, might be concerned about the way we think and the way we feel and the desires that we have in our hearts and where they come from, and knowing that, Lord, we are sinful and that we have a proneness to wander, a proneness to go toward the things of this world, and a proneness to yield to the devil. Lord, help us to yield ourselves to you. Help us to humble ourselves and to draw nigh to you as your people, that our hearts would be under your control and that you might bless and you might accomplish your purposes. Lord, make us peacemakers. Help us to be, Lord, an influence, and help us to be good examples one to another. Help us to love one another. Help us to dwell, Lord, in peace one with another. We'll give you the praise for what you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.